This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and when I start my workday, it always begins with that morning shower. Normally, I use a liquid body wash, but recently I purchased a bar of Sterling Soap Company's handcrafted bath soap and decided to give their Deep Blue Sea handcrafted bath soap a try. Immediately, the aroma of Sterling's bath soap was obvious, and in using this soap, I felt refreshed, clean, energized, and Sterling's bath soap helped me step out of that shower with the momentum and eagerness to get my day rolling. If you want to get a refreshing wake-up call in the morning and get your busy day off to the right start, I highly recommend going to Sterling Soap Company's website and order one of their many varieties of bath soaps among other products they offer. Visit Sterling Soap Company at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
This is Kent Washington, the first American and black basketball player to play professionally behind the Iron Curtain in Communist Poland. You are listening to the Total Sports Recall podcast of the Sport History Network. Now, here's your host, Harv Aronson.
Welcome to the Total Sports Recall podcast. As on this episode, we move to part three of a four-part series looking back at the history of the first overall draft picks in all major sports. I'm your host, Harv Aronson, and thus far in past episodes, I have covered Major League Baseball and the National Football League. Now we turn to professional basketball. In the past two episodes, I covered the first top 20 picks dating back to the first years of the draft for both baseball and football. In covering basketball, however, since there were two competitive leagues in the past, the National Basketball Association and the American Basketball Association, I'm going to look back at just the top 10 draft picks for each league from the NBA's draft inception and then the ABA's draft inception. So 20 players will be mentioned, but just for the first 10 years of each league. Let's begin with a league that is still playing. That would be the NBA, because the ABA only lasted from 1967 to 1975 before closing shop. When the league folded, an agreement with the NBA was reached that allowed four franchises to move into the NBA. They were the Indiana Pacers, Denver Nuggets, San Antonio Spurs, and the New Jersey Nets, all of which are still playing today in the league. However, the Nets now call Brooklyn home. While we are only reviewing the overall number one pick for each league, the ABA did have some outstanding players drafted in the later picks that became big stars, not just in the ABA, but in the NBA as well. Some of those bigger names are Rick Barry, Billy Cunningham, Julius, Dr. J. Irving, Artis Gilmore, and George, the Iceman Gervin. I'll begin with the NBA, then move into the ABA. 1947, the first year of the NBA draft, Clifton McNeely was the first overall pick and drafted by the Pittsburgh Ironmen. McNeely holds the honor of being the first basketball player drafted into a pro selection process. The Pittsburgh Ironmen, though, played in a league called the Basketball Association of America, which would become what we now know as the NBA. McNeely played his college ball at Texas Wesleyan University, where in his senior season he was the top scorer in the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. While Ironmen drafted McNeely, he never set foot on a pro hardwood floor. Instead, he opted to become a coach at Pampa High School in Texas. McNeely passed away in 2003, but was inducted into the Texas High School Basketball Hall of Fame, the Soldell ISD Hall of Fame, the Panhandle Sports Hall of Fame, and the Texas Wesleyan University Hall of Fame. At Pampa High School, their gymnasium is named McNeely Fieldhouse. The next year, 1948, Andy Tonkovich was drafted by the Providence Steamrollers. Long before the tragic story of Marshall University became the film We Are Marshall, was the selection of Andy Tonkovich as he played his college basketball for Marshall, the Thundering Herd. At Marshall, Tonkovich was the star of a team that won the NAIB title in 1947. His performance that year earned him a spot on the All-Tournament team, as well as being on the NAIB All-American First American team. At that time, his 1,578 points was the school's all-time record. After being drafted by the Providence Steamrollers, Tonkovich played just 17 games as a rookie and quit the team at the halfway mark of the season, playing instead for the Wheeling Blues in the All-American Basketball League, where he was a coach while manning the hardwoods. After quitting basketball, he would go on to become a physical education teacher and head coach for high schools. Tonkovich also coached baseball. Tonkovich was inducted into the NAIA Hall of Fame in 1973 and to the Marshall Athletics Hall of Fame in 1985. He passed away in 2006 and then was posthumously elected to the Ohio Valley Athletic Conference Hall of Fame in 2014. In 1949, Howie Shannon, also drafted by the Providence Steamrollers, was a shooting guard who also played small forward with 2 years of pro ball, first with the Providence Steamrollers and then one season with the Boston Celtics. Shannon would go into a coaching career after leaving the NBA, first with the Topeka High School in Kansas, then with his alma mater, Kansas State, as an assistant. From 1964 to 1967, he was the head coach at Virginia Tech, leaving the school with a 104-67 record. In 1967, behind his leadership, Virginia Tech reached the Mid-East Regional Finals, losing to Daytona University. In 1960, Shannon was the head coach of the Puerto Rican basketball team for the Olympics, and lung cancer ended Howie Shannon's life on August 16, 1995, when he was 72 years old. While playing for the Providence Steamrollers, he was named Rookie of the Year for the 1949 season. For his two professional seasons, he averaged 10.8 points per game, with an assist average of 2.5 per game. He played in 122 games overall. 1950 was Chuck Scherer's draft year, and he was drafted by the Boston Celtics. Chuck Scherer was easily the best player drafted, number one, through the first 4 years of the pro draft. Coming out of Bowling Green University, Scherer left behind a legacy that saw him set the school's all-time scoring record, it being 1,730 points. Scherer was also the first successful big man, standing 6 feet 11 inches. In 1949, while playing in the famed Madison Square Garden, he scored 39 points while playing Loyola. When then Boston's head coach Red Auerbach prepared for making the league's first overall pick, Bob Cousy was one of the players available, but instead he chose Scherer. When the complaints started rolling in, Auerbach responded with this quote, "We need a big man. Little men are a dime a dozen. I'm supposed to win, but not go after local yokels." Then Scherer did not even sign with Boston. Instead, he inked a contract with the Waterloo Hawks in the National Professional Basketball League, an organization that existed all of 1 year, that being for the 1950-51 season. Still having his rights, the Celtics traded him to the Fort Wayne Pistons. Scherer would be traded one more time in 1953, this time to the Milwaukee Hawks, where he would spend the next 7 seasons before returning to the Minneapolis Lakers, playing for them in only the 1960 season. Scherer and his Hawks won the league title in 1958, and following retirement, he went into business for himself, eventually passing at the age of 85 in 2012. Posthumously, he was inducted into the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame in 2017, and prior to his death in 1964, Bowling Green State University made him a member of their Hall of Fame. 1951, Gene Melchior was drafted by the Baltimore Hawks. This 1951 first overall pick went by the quick nickname Squeaky, Unfortunately, Gene Melchior will forever have an asterisk next to his name because he never played a second on an NBA floor. This is because he was banned from the NBA after it was discovered that he was involved in point shaving while playing ball at Bradley University. The point shaving scandal went down like this. On July 24th, 1951, Melchior and four of his teammates came forward and made it known that those five players took bribes to keep the scores down in games against St. Joseph University and Oregon State University. Three of the men, including Melchior, plead guilty to a misdemeanor under New York State law. They were facing 3 years in prison, but the assistant district attorney gave them leniency for their cooperation, and all three were handed a suspended sentence. Despite the scandal, the Baltimore Hawks made Melchior the league's first pick. However, then president of the NBA, Maurice Poloff, banned all the players involved in that point in the point shaving incident, not permitted to play in the NBA, and that ban was for life. Despite not having a basketball career, Melchior had a successful business career and a long life. He passed away on September 27, 2019, at the age of 92. In 1952, Mark Workman was drafted by the Milwaukee Hawks, first overall in the league, and Workman had an outstanding high school career, leading his Charleston High School in West Virginia to the state title in his junior year. In his graduation year, he averaged 32.8 points per game. That season, he poured in 63 points in one game. Workman joins Hot Rod Hundley as the only overall number one pick that came out of the same high school. Also a track star, Workman starred in the shot put, javelin, and discus throw. West Virginia University was his school of choice, staying close to home, and before he departed for his freshman season, local auto salesman gave him a new Chrysler New York to make the trip to the school. That became the first vehicle in the Workman family. Workman's college career got off to a tragic start when the Mountaineers basketball coach Lee Patton, who recruited Workman, was killed in an unfortunate automobile accident. Thus, Mark Workman never got to play for the man that actually recruited him. Workman marched on with his college career, averaging 26.1 points per game in the 1950-51 season. And then a year later, his average dropped to 23.1, but his rebounds per game was an impressive 17.5 as his team finished 23-4. In 1952, Workman was named as an NCAA All-American. Workman had high scoring games in his college career of 50 and 44 points. He still holds some WVU school records, which are the most field goals in one game with 22 and free throws for one game, which were 17. Also, points scored in one half of a basketball game when he put up 37 in one game. He also ranks in four other scoring marks inside the top 10. After being drafted by the Milwaukee Hawks, Workman opted not to play in the NBA and instead went on tour to Europe with the Harlem Globetrotters. When he returned, he did play in five games for Milwaukee, but was then traded to the Philadelphia Warriors. His performance paled in comparison to what he accomplished in college, and he played just one season there before playing one final season with the Baltimore Bullets, retiring in 1954. He then became a businessman before becoming ill and passing away at the age of 53 in 1983. 1953 was Ray Felix, drafted by the Baltimore Bullets. Ray Felix holds a special distinction when talking NBA draft. As the first overall pick in 1953, he became the first African-American to be drafted first overall in the history of the draft. Felix was born in New York City, and having lived there for many years, the Big Apple is a breeding ground for great basketball players on the outside courts around the big city. Felix is one of those, and he played his college ball at Long Island University of Brooklyn. After the Bullets drafted the 6'11" Felix, he played one season in the American Basketball League with the Manchester British Americans. The league lasted just two seasons, folding in 1953 after winning the title with Felix on the roster. Once he joined the Bullets in the NBA, he won the Rookie of the Year award for 1954 when he averaged 13.3 rebounds, scoring 17.6 points per game. As he was named an All-Star, Felix became just the second African-American to be named such in NBA history up to that time. Felix was in Baltimore for just one season, traded on January 24, 1960 to the New York Knicks. After a sixth season in New York, Felix was on the move again, this time traded to the Minneapolis/Los Angeles Lakers. His career spanned nine seasons, with one in Baltimore, six with the Knicks, two with the Lakers. During his career, Felix developed a rivalry with Hall of Famer Bill Russell, who in one incident punched Felix in the head, rendering him unconscious. Following retirement, he spent years working in New York City. At age 60, Ray Felix passed away from a heart attack on July 28, 1991. Frank Selvey was drafted in 1954 by the Baltimore Bullets. Selvey was an outstanding college and pro basketball player, and his first name was given to him in honor of former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who had become president the day before Selvey was born. At college, where he starred on the hardwoods for Furman University, Selvey was a two-time All-American, as well as winning the Southern Conference Player of the Year twice. Selvey made history on February 13, 1964. While playing for Furman, he poured in 100 points as his team defeated Newberry College. No other Division I team has accomplished this feat in history. Once in the NBA, Selvey had a long and successful pro career, playing from 1954 until he retired 10 years later. He would play for multiple teams, starting with the Baltimore Bulls and then the Milwaukee/St. Louis Hawks in 1958, but also that season with the Minneapolis Lakers, New York Knicks, and the following season with the Syracuse Nationals. He finished his career back with the Lakers. From 1964 to 1970, he coached his alma mater, Furman, first as an assistant and then as a head coach. A book about Frank Selvey's life was published in 2016, and he lived to the age of 91 when he passed away in 2024. 1955 was Dick Ricketts' year of the St. Louis Hawks, who drafted him. While Dick Ricketts only played three seasons in the NBA, a claim he can make that the previous players already mentioned cannot is that Ricketts also played in Major League Baseball, as he played one season for the St. Louis Cardinals in 1959. Ricketts was a pitcher, and his one season in baseball did not turn out so well, as his record that year was 1-6 with an ERA of 5.82. Originally from Pottstown, Pennsylvania, Ricketts played his college ball at Duquesne University, and his jersey number 12 has been retired by the school. Dick's brother Dave had a more successful career in the MLB, spending six seasons with the Cardinals and another five as a coach. Tragically, Dick Ricketts suffered from leukemia and lost his life to the disease in 1988 at the age of 54. 1956, Cy Green was the NBA's first overall draft pick by the Rochester Royals. Interestingly enough, Cy Green, like the previously mentioned Dick Ricketts, played his college ball in Duquesne, and as Ricketts' number 12 was retired by the school, so was Green's number 11. The difference between the two is that Green had a longer and more successful pro career. Green played for a handful of teams as a pro that were the Rochester Royals, the Easton Madisons, Cincinnati Royals, St. Louis Hawks, Chicago Packers, Baltimore Bullets, Boston Celtics, New Haven Elms, and the Wilmington Blue Bombers. Green's career began in 1956 and ended in 1967. Green's birth name is not the same he came to be known as. At birth, he was named Shahugo Lewis. He grew up in Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, New York. His birth name came from his Native American grandmother. The name Cy came up as a nickname slapped on him early in life, and his mother, upon remarrying, took the name Green, thus Cy's last name that he is known by. Green would spend the rest of his life in Pittsburgh, and lung cancer tragically took his life in 1980 at the very young age of 47. Now, as we turn to the Old American Basketball Association, for you old-timers like me, surely you remember the red, white, and blue basketballs they used. Perhaps you may recall, or maybe you were not aware, that the great Julius Erving, better known as Dr. J, got his start in the ABA. As I'm discussing only overall number one picks, the ABA sent some other great players to the NBA once they folded, including Pete Maravich, David Thompson, Nate Archibald, Cassie Russell, Dan Issel, Billy Knight, Artis Gilmore, and Rudy Tomjanovic. The ABA just had 9 drafts in their short history, so let's take a look at those 9 men drafted first overall and as an NBA team. 1967 was their first year, and Jimmy Walker was drafted by the Indiana Pacers. Interesting fact about Jimmy Walker right off the bat is that he's the father of former NBA player Jalen Rose, who was part of the infamous Fab Five at the University of Michigan. However, Walker split from Rose's mother before he was born and was never a part of his life. For Rose, obviously playing b-ball was in his blood. As for Jimmy Walker of the Providence Flyers, yes, he was drafted by the Indiana Pacers in 1967 with the league's first overall pick, but the Detroit Pistons in the NBA also made him the first round pick, and off went to the NBA was Walker. He would spend 6 seasons with the Detroit Pistons, then 1 year in Houston with the Rockets, and closed out his career, retiring in 1976 with the Kansas City Omaha Kings. Twice Jimmy Walker was an NBA All-Star, twice first-team All-American at Providence University. For his pro career, he averaged 16.7 points per game. Walker died from lung cancer in 2007, and his estranged son, Jalen Rose, had earlier spoken with his natural-born father by phone, and the two were going to meet and had planned on doing so the month that Walker had passed, so they never did get a chance to meet. Rose did, however, attend his funeral. In 1968, Elvin Hayes was drafted by the Houston Mavericks. Known as the Big E, Elvin Hayes was a fantastic basketball player who was on the courts in college for the University of Houston Cougars. So good was Hayes that he was named to the NBA's 50th and 75th anniversary teams. As a power forward, he is considered to be one of the best players in history at that position. Drafted by the Houston Mavericks, Hayes had a very lengthy professional career, starting with him being drafted overall number one in 1968, and his career ended in 1984 when he retired with the Houston Rockets. He would also spend time on the roster of the Baltimore/Washington Bulls. How great was Elvin Hayes? His jersey numbers 11 and 44 have been retired by the Washington Wizards and the Houston Rockets, respectively. Hayes was an NBA All-Star 12 times, 3-time All-NBA first team, and in 1969 led the league in scoring. Hayes is a member of the NBA 50th and 75th anniversary teams, and in 1968 was named by the Associated Press as Player of the Year, also given that honor by UPI and the Sporting News for that same season. For his career, he averaged 21 points per game, along with a rebounding average per game of 12.5. After Hayes retired from basketball, he became a Liberty County, Texas Sheriff's Deputy, something he said he always wanted to do. He also serves as a basketball analyst for the Houston Cougars. The Houston Rockets have also retired his jersey number 44. In 1969, that was a very special year for basketball. Lou Alcindor was drafted by the New York Nets. If you mention the name Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to a basketball fan, they would most likely know who you're talking about. Mention the name Lou Alcindor and they might say, who? Well, those two names are one and the same. Jabbar's birth name was Ferdinand Louis Alcindor Jr. and his birthplace was Harlem in New York City. If you're curious how and why the name changed, it is because as Jabbar grew up in the Catholic faith, when he left for college to play basketball for UCLA, it was 1968, and he converted to Islam. In 1971, he officially and legally changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. In translation, that means the Noble One, Servant of the Almighty. Malcolm X had invited Jabbar to join his group, the Nation of Islam, but Jabbar had refused. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was one of the greatest basketball players in college basketball history and easily in the top 5 of the greatest NBA players ever. We could spend hours talking about his record-setting statistics and awards, but it's a non-brainer that he is in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. The same can be said for the college version of the Hall. Obviously, UCLA has him in their Hall of Fame, and many Hoop fans will forever remember his skyhook that was nearly indefensible. For movie buffs, most will remember the movie Airplane, which starred Abdul-Jabbar, but his film career debuted with one of my favorite movies and featured one of my favorite actors, Bruce Lee. as Jabbar squared off against the martial artist in the movie Game of Death. But just as this list of honors is in his sport is so long, so is his movie and television career. Today, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is 79, originally drafted by both the New York Nets of the ABA and the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA, Jabbar chose the Bucks over contract disputes. He would spend the next 20 years playing for Milwaukee and the Los Angeles Lakers, but will always be remembered for being a major part of the championship teams with the Lakers. He also coached with them from 2005 through 2011. 1970, along came Bob Lanier, drafted by the New York Nets, first overall. Unfortunately for the ABA, in 1967, the first year of the draft, the NBA was also permitted to select the same players they sought. Such was the case, as indicated with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it repeated itself a year later with Bob Lanier. The New York Nets were trying to draft the best of the best, and again they lost out, this time to the Detroit Pistons, who also selected Bob Lanier as the league's first overall draft pick. What I remember about Bob Lanier is that he had perhaps the largest feet of any pro basketball player in history. As I visited the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame in Massachusetts years ago, a model of Lanier's shoe is bronzed and put on display. His shoe size was 22. As a pro, he had a Hall of Fame career playing for the Pistons and the Milwaukee Bucks, a career that spanned 15 seasons but was cut short due to knee injuries. A big man at 6 feet 10 inches and weighing 250 pounds, Lanier gained a reputation in the NBA as an enforcer. He once knocked out another NBA player during a game, namely Bob Christian, and he also got into it with another well-known enforcer, Detroit's Bill Laimbeer, who Lanier had broken the Piston bad boy's nose. Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bob Lanier's honors are many. His college alma mater, St. Bonaventure University, has placed him in their Hall of Fame and retired his jersey number 31. He is a member of the College Basketball Hall of Fame and the Pro Hall of Fame. Both teams he played for in the NBA retired his jersey number 16. Lanier passed away on May 10, 2022, after suffering from an unnamed illness, and he was 73 years old. In 1971, Jim McDaniels was drafted by the Utah Stars. For Jim McDaniels, he was in fact drafted into the NBA by the Utah Stars, but then there are sources that say the Dallas Chaparrals in the ABA also drafted him number one overall. So the Chaparrals put him on the floor for the 1971-72 season. However, before the next season began, there was a contract dispute and the Seattle Supersonics where he would play in just one season. McDaniels was then on the move, playing in an Italian league in the following year before coming back to the Los Angeles Lakers, but not getting to the end of the season, ending up playing for the Kentucky Colonels in the NBA, and then wrapping up his career with the Buffalo Braves. Overall, he was just a pro basketball player for 7 years. McDaniel did have some honors. He was an ABA All-Star in 1972, consensus first team All-American in 1971. Twice he was named Ohio Valley Conference Player of the Year, and his jersey number 44 has been retired by the Hilltoppers of his alma mater, Western Kentucky University. In 1967, he was also named to Parade's All-American team. It doesn't stop there, as in 1967, he was named Kentucky Mr. Basketball. At age 69, complications from diabetes took his life. That was in 2017. 1972 is our next year, and Bob McAdoo was drafted by the Virginia Squires. Before there was Michael Jordan, there was another University of North Carolina standout, an NBA star named Bob McAdoo. This Tar Heel basketball stud was drafted into the ABA by the Buffalo Braves, where he would remain through the 1975-76 season. McAdoo had a very long career spending the next 20 years playing for multiple teams, including New York Knicks, Boston Celtics, Detroit Pistons, New Jersey Nets, Los Angeles Lakers, Philadelphia 76ers, and then from 1986 until he retired in 1992, McAdoo played in Italy. Bob McAdoo's resume is impressive. Two NBA titles, the MVP award for the NBA in 1975, a five-time All-Star, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1973, and he was named to the NBA's 75th anniversary team, and he's a member of both College Football Hall of Fame and Pro Bowl. He is still with us today at 74. 1973, it was Dwight Lamar, drafted by the San Diego Conquistadors. While we have discussed several Hall of Fame players and some truly great players, Dwight Lamar would not be among those. His pro career just lasted 5 seasons, but his college career was stellar. A 2-time consensus first-team All-American in 1972 and in 1973. In 1972, he was the Southland Player of the Year. However, after being drafted, he played only for the Conquistadors, then in the NBA, the Indiana Pacers, and the Lakers. In his rookie season, he made the All-Rookie team while playing for the great Wilt Chamberlain, who was their head coach. Lamar, known affectionately as Bo, passed away just this year at age 74. In 1974, Tom McMillan was drafted by the Virginia Squires. With this first-round pick, we have who might be the most intelligent and educated player of all those mentioned. Drafted by two teams, the Virginia Squires in the ABA and the Buffalo Braves in the NBA, prior to his pro career and dating back to his high school days, McMillan was the number one high school player in the country coming out of Pennsylvania growing up in Mansfield. With many recruiters pounding on his door, he chose the University of Maryland. In 1972, McMillan was a member of the United States Olympic team that lost the most controversial basketball final in history when the Russians upset the Americans. McMillan was a scholar athlete earning a BS in chemistry, and upon being drafted, he chose instead to attend University College Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar. There he would continue playing basketball. Following his education at Oxford, McMillan played ball in Italy, 10 with 4 teams in the NBA, the Buffalo Braves, the New York Knicks, Atlanta Hawks, and the Washington Bullets. In 1970, McMillan was named as Mr. Basketball USA. Following his pro career, politics was his next step as he was elected to the United States Congress, with his party being Democrat, representing Maryland's 4th District. McMillan is 6 foot 11 inches and is believed to be the tallest member of Congress in history. He has also served as chairman of the President's Council on Physical Fitness. McMillan is a member of the College Basketball Hall of Fame. That brings us to 1975, and the first overall draft pick by the ABA was Marvin Webster of the Denver Nuggets. Webster played his college ball and pro ball while standing over 7 feet tall, 7 foot 1 inches to be exact. His college ball was played at Morgan State College, and despite being drafted into the NBA by the Atlanta Hawks, Webster was also drafted by the Denver Nuggets first overall into the ABA. The Hawks picked him with the NBA's 3rd overall pick. Webster ended up in the NBA when he went to play for the Seattle Supersonics, but there was just there for 1 season, after which he became a New York Knick and stayed there from 1978 through the 1984 season. For 1 year, he did play in the Continental Basketball Association, better known as the CBA, and with the Pensacola Tornadoes coming back into the NBA and playing for the Milwaukee Bucks. And Webster tragically died at the age of 56 in 2009, reportedly of a heart failure, and incredibly, his son, Marvin Webster Jr., also passed away from a heart attack during his second semester at Temple University, where he too played basketball. So that concludes part 3 of my 4-part series of the first overall draft picks for the major sports, covering the first 20 years of a draft. This episode was about the NBA and ABA, and in 2 weeks, the final chapter will take a look at the National Hockey League. At the close of every episode of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, I give thanks to the Sports History Network for hosting this show, and as always, invite listeners to reach out to the show with any comments or suggestions by using the official show email address, which is totalsportsrecall@gmail.com. That's totalsportsrecall@gmail.com. With that said, this is Harv Aronson, hoping you enjoyed another episode of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and invite you to return in a few weeks for another new show. To all that are listening, have a great next couple of weeks.
The contents of this podcast do not represent the opinions of others and are solely the opinions of Harv Aronson based on his experience, knowledge, and research.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.